Let me.
Amen back there, Lucas. I can hear him back there. Amen. That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. I love it. I love it back there. What a week. I enjoyed celebrating America. I enjoyed, and you will never hear anything hopefully political from this pulpit. That's just, I have certain feelings, you know. But I'll tell you one thing. I love people that talk about America. I love people that talk about the great things. And don't worry, I'm like a little kid. I'd be looking at them planes flying over to, ooh, look at there, like that, ooh, look at that. Even when I'm at work and I'm outside and the plane goes over, I still look up at it. I just do. That's just the way I am. I know that so many times people start to worry and they start to complain a little bit and they start to get concerned and which direction is this country going into and all kind of questions come up. So today, I want to share with you a little bit about a great country. A great place to live. I want to share with you something that the Bible calls the good land. The good land. Now I'm going to read here in the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy in the 8th chapter. And it begins by telling the folks to go into the land and live and multiply. You have to remember now, these folks had been in the wilderness for how long? 40 years. Don't you think they're ready for a new address?
Yeah.
Yeah. For 40 years they'd been in that wilderness. God had sustained them. What was that food that they said that God sent down? Anybody remember that?
Manna.
Manna. Never tasted any, never tried any, have no idea. But I do know it was sent from God. And here, just before they are allowed and welcomed into a new place, I want you to hear what God's word says. Every commandment, this is Deuteronomy 8th chapter, the first verse. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. The second verse begins with this wonderful phrase, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart. So many times when we're going through difficult times, we're going through challenges, we're going facing things, we simply don't remember that so many times God is allowing this to test us, to find out what is really within our hearts. Whether you would keep His commandments or not, so He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. And this is the good part. That He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. I know many times you've heard that spoken in churches and read it. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to drop all the way down to the 7th verse. It reads, "For the Lord your God is bringing to you into a good land." The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. And here's what the writer does. He starts to describe that land. A land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And then in the 10th verse, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Can I hear an amen?
Amen. Amen.
I believe that God has given us a good land. I'm proud to be an American. I drive a Jeep. Now, I had no idea. I had absolutely no idea until I saw it on television. If I saw it on television, it's got to be true. That the Jeep is considered to be the most American car you can get. I had no idea. I bought it because it was a good deal. But I also bought it because my father, for many, many years, when we would go hunting, he would have Jeeps. He had a 1946 Willys Jeep. He had Jeeps that would run and Jeeps that we worked on. He had Jeeps that we would go up to the mountainside, and sometimes when we had to leave that Jeep, we would go back and try to find parts off other Jeeps to go back to take to this Jeep. True stories. But I had no idea that it was considered to be the most American vehicle. Now, I'm not here selling Jeeps, trust me. That's my deal. But I'm here to tell you that I'm proud to live in this great country. On Thursday, we celebrated the 4th of July, and it is called Independence Day. Because back in 1776, introduced was the Declaration of Independence. A wonderful document which this nation stands upon. So important that this is what John Adams said about it. He says, whether we live or die, sink or swim, succeed or fail, I stand behind this Declaration of Independence. And if God wills it, I'm ready to die in order that this country might experience freedom. Freedom. I live in a land that is based upon freedom. When we celebrated this wonderful Declaration of Independence, you have to remember that those men who signed upon that document, and if you'll study and learn about each one, almost to a person, they suffered because of their signature, what they had to give up for the freedom in our country. But the document itself does more than ring out independence. I believe that that document is a document of dependence. And I believe those individuals that signed and that document was made up for those men to swear their dependence upon God. I want to read you the one that you learned when you're in grade school there, which says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I love the way that that document ends, because it ends by reading, with a firm reliance upon the protection of divine providence. You know those guys knew how to write, didn't they? With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor. Your Declaration of Independence, which I believe was a declaration of dependence upon God. Patrick Henry. Anybody ever heard of him? What did he say? Yeah. Some of y'all did go to school. I ain't going. It's amazing how the things that you learned back when you studied not only U.S. history, but our state history. I was proud of that in the schools. But he was a very unique man. He said that back in 1775 at one of the Virginia conventions. He also, during the Revolutionary War, he was the commander-in-chief of the Virginia military forces. He was one of the organizers on the Bill of Rights. He was also the first governor of the state of Virginia, which he was re-elected three more times. But I have a statement here that he shared, and I believe it's one that should ring out in our hearts today. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Christ. Wow. In his will. I tell you, when you put it in your will, you know you're pretty serious. In his will, at the end of it, this is what he wrote. He says, I have now given everything I own to my children. But there is one thing I wish I could give them. That is Christ. Because if they have everything I have given them and they don't know Christ, they have nothing. Powerful words. Bless you. When I like fireworks. You too, yeah. You can tell when I strike a chord. I like fireworks. Like hot dogs, hamburgers. Yeah, I heard another chord out there, somebody. I love the opportunity, and they said that this 4th of July was probably more so than any to be used to travel. Because it fell on that Thursday, and people could take off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and make that long weekend out of it. And I love the opportunity when people get a little break in the summertime and just get an opportunity to catch up on things or just spend it any way that they so fit to. But I also love it when people start to recognize that this freedom did not come freely. When they start to recognize those individuals that have made such sacrifices. We don't get everything right in this country. I'm not trying to tell you that. Not at all. Mm-mm. But I'm here to tell you that you, sitting within the churches today, should be so thankful for the military that has given so much for this country. Given those who, even today as I'm sitting here speaking, or sitting down by the fire station, or sitting by in that cruiser waiting for that call to go out and help that one who is in distress. What a joy it is that I stand here in a free country to uplift America and also our faith in God. Because as this word says, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. A good land. When you've eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. I hope that you took an opportunity to be thankful to your country this week. And I know that many a song was sung, patriotic. I know that many a choir got together and worked on special music just for the 4th of July. But no matter what rings out in your heart, no matter what items may come into your mind, just remember, God has given us a good land. Amen? Amen. In just a moment, I'm going to ask the deacons to come up. We're going to serve communion today. These gentlemen, when they wrote this document, they signed it. And you know, in your American history, that's right, American history. Don't worry, he'll get plenty of American history in that household, I'll guarantee you. I'm so glad Lucas and I have it worked out today. Folks, I'm proud to be an American. Amen. Just a moment, we're going to ask the ushers to come down. We're going to serve communion. Did I forget to take up offerings? Oh, they'll get to it. I'm going to serve communion. And we'll take up an offering at the end. Is that okay, folks? Like that. Amen. Amen. Come on up here.